The words chosen for this morning are found in the 10th chapter of Acts, beginning with the 40th verse. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sin. In Jesus Christ, our risen and triumphant Savior, dear fellow redeemed. In this glorious Eastertide, we stand in spirit before the open grave of our Lord. But what draws us this morning to that broken tomb? History knows of far more prestigious-looking graves. Think of the treasures of King Tut's tomb. It staggers the imagination. Or think of the Taj Mahal, built as the final resting place of the emperor's favorite wife. We're not even absolutely certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, where our Lord was buried. Muslims heckle Christian missionaries with the challenge, well, we have our prophet's tomb in Medina, but you have nothing. But on Easter morning, we have everything. Every other grave smells of rot and death. But Christ's grave proclaims victory, triumph, and life for all. Behold, then, the glorious resurrection of our Lord. It's first of all an indisputable fact. For all skeptics and outright unbelievers, Easter is the greatest hoax and folly of the Christian faith. There are two critical theories. Or either Jesus never really rose, or he never really died in the first place. Those who maintain that Jesus didn't really die assume that he fell into a trance or a coma on the cross, and then in the cool of the tomb, his body was restored to consciousness. This idea is absolutely absurd in light of the women's visit to the tomb early Easter morning. What were they coming to do? Revive an unconscious Jesus? Far from it. They came to do a better job of the hasty embalming that was done on Friday. They would have laughed at the idea that Jesus wasn't dead. They saw that spear the size of a man's hand thrown into his side. Blood and water coming out, showing the death process had occurred. They saw the body placed in the grave. Also, the idea that he never rose again cannot stand in the light of the New Testament account. What do they tell us? Early Easter morning, the lifeless body became alive in the tomb and was glorified. Jesus passed through the wall of the tomb and descended into hell, where he proclaimed his victory over Satan and the powers of evil. Then he appeared to the women and then to all the disciples, this text says. He ate and drank with them and caused them to know him through the breaking of bread, as he makes himself known to us through the breaking of bread, the supper. He appeared to almost 500 of his followers at one time. There were many eyewitnesses to the resurrection. And realize that the New Testament accounts especially 1 Corinthians, was written in the lifetime of those 500 witnesses. If there would have been inaccuracies, they probably, and they would have no doubt, told the holy writers what they did wrong. What gave the early church courage if the disciples faked the resurrection? What transformed the apostles from hiding behind closed doors into valiant champions of the cross? What gave the martyrs the courage to face the lions? A dead Jesus? No. A living and triumphant Lord. His is the victory, and that victory is ours too. And that's the great wonder and joy of Easter. Each one of us, by nature, is dominated by sin, death, and hell. Dominated by Satan. Aren't you? Think about your old sinful flesh. How often don't we do things that we know are going to hurt ourselves and those around us, and we do them anyway? We know it's wrong. We know it's going to hurt. And we keep on doing them. That's that domination that holds us. Often we're filled with hatred and bitterness, making our lives miserable. We worship wealth, power, and prestige, wearing out our body in that service. And still we're never satisfied. We worry about this and we worry about that. And worry never accomplished one thing in our lives. What a wretched thing our sinful flesh is, that domination. But thanks be to God that Easter tells us that we are free from sin, death, and the devil. We have been liberated. Jesus' resurrection victory is our resurrection victory by faith in him. Dr. Walter, the writer of the hymn that we are singing this morning, says that the open tomb on Easter morning is the public declaration of absolution or forgiveness for every last sinner. Forgiveness, liberation has been offered to each and every one of us. Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. We usually think of that phrase as referring to, yeah, on the last day we're going to rise from the dead. And it certainly means that. But it means much more. It means that there is resurrection power for each of us right now. In our baptisms, we were united with Christ's death and resurrection. In your baptism, you died with Christ. Your sins were forgiven. The old flesh was crushed down. And then as he arose the third day in your baptism, you arose. Faith in the Savior was worked in your hearts. And you were given resurrection power so that you can live resurrection Easter lives right now. Easter is an event in our lives. Now we don't have to be Satan's playthings doing his perverted pleasure anymore. Why should we be in bondage to those things that we know are going to hurt ourselves and those around us? There is resurrection power for us today. Do we feel like that power is dwindling? Or that it's gone entirely in our lives? Then don't despair. Return today to your baptism by repenting of your sins, drowning the old flesh, and allowing the new life to come forth, nourished through word and sacrament. Then that resurrection life will be renewed so that we can live as children of the light. That resurrection life, born in baptism, nourished through the means of grace, will culminate, yes, in the resurrection of this very body on the last day. Now, for the Christian, the grave has become a restful sleeping place while the soul is with the Lord in glory. And then on the last day, this very body will come forth glorified. As Job of old confessed, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he will stand at the latter day upon the face of the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my own flesh will I see God. I myself will see him. I am not another. Oh, how my heart yearns within me. Every casket, every Christian casket, and we're all going to see them, and we're all going to be in one, is closed in sorrow. But thanks be to God, in confident hope that it will break forth in victory, because death has been swallowed up by the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is arisen, arisen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.